I want to look really at what's going on there. It's called the final judgment, isn't it? But before we get into that, it's really part of the culmination, we might say, of the kingdom of God. You know, God's kingdom. We read in Matthew's gospel, it's called the kingdom of heaven, and in Luke's gospel, it's called the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Same thing.
It's the same thing, because it's the same passage that was referring to Jesus' words. Yeah. But Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven, and and Luke calls it the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And I'm asking you, why does he do that?
Could it be because the Hebrew language,
is
one word has got more than one meaning?
Could be, but that's not the reason there.
Yeah? The Jews didn't call it that, did they? They didn't speak about God, did they?
That's the issue. When the Jews addressed God, they didn't use the word God.
No, that's
right. Yeah? If you read some of the modern writings on some of the on the websites, they'll spell G hyphen D.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah?
Yes.
Because they don't use the name of God. It's out of reverence for the name. Yeah? And so Matthew, writing to Jews, predominantly to start with, avoids using, and the word heaven was the word that was substituted for God.
In case unknowingly they used it.
That's right, Okay, so that's it's the same thing we're talking about. But let's have a look at Matthew 4, if we can. So he uses the term kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. We will get back to Revelation, I assure you, but we've a little bit of groundwork to do first. Matthew 4, 17 first. This is just after Jesus' baptism and being filled with the Spirit. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Right, so Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is near. It means it's here actually, while he's around, the kingdom of God is present. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And how is the kingdom of God manifested? Well, verse 23 tells us, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Right? News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Right, so, when the kingdom of God is manifested, right, we see these things happening. We see people hearing the good news. We see people set free from all sorts of afflictions and diseases and demonic powers, yeah? So that's the manifestation of the kingdom, when the king is there. Yeah? That's what the kingdom's all about. Well, we have in our time, Jesus isn't here now, is he, physically? Right, he's here by his Spirit, but is the kingdom of God here? Yes, and we read in Revelation, it says now is the kingdom of God, later on. So we are in this sort of intermediate phase. Some people use the term, it's the now and not yet. Yeah? We have manifestations of the kingdom, God working miracles, God doing wonderful things, his kingdom advancing, and yet in its completeness, we're not there yet. Right, so we're in the now and the not yet bit, yeah? But the day is coming when it will be the yet. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's, we'll look at Revelation 11 now. 11:15. Yeah. It's the seventh angel sounding his trumpet. There were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Amen to that. Right? But we're not there yet. But that's what's coming. The kingdom of the world, all the world's kingdoms, all that's part of this world system is one day going to give way to the rule of Jesus. Yeah? God is going to reign over it all. Our Lord and Jesus are going to reign over it. Yep. So, it's an eternal, you know what he says, it's an eternal reign as well.
Ever.
He will reign forever and ever. Right? That's important to get that, yeah?
Yes.
And then, let me just read on in that little section still. How is this eternal reign being manifested? We see that it involves both judgments and salvation in the sense. Yeah? You'll see what I mean. But verse 16, the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you've taken your great power and have begun to reign. So the kingdom started now. Yeah. The nations are angry and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. So there's two sides. There's time for judging those who destroyed the earth, for God to deal with them, and the other side is for rewarding his servants and granting blessings to them. And that's what we will see in that latter part of the chapter 20. Yeah, it's God judging the people for what they've done. Yep. So let's now go on to chapter 20, and we'll take it a verse at a time, that little section, chapter 20 verse 11, and see what this all brings up for us. Yep. Now then, he says, I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. That's the Lord, isn't it? Yep. Yep. Earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. So what's happened? Earth and sky fled from his presence.
The earth's gone.
The earth's gone. The sky's gone. I'd like to suggest the whole universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has changed. Yeah. Just give you a reference in Hebrews to show you what's gone on there. If you look at Hebrews 12, keep your fingers in Revelation, we'll be back of course. Hebrews 12, verse 25. This, in a way, gives us a little introduction to that. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn from him who warned us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. This is talking about God speaking at Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. Then the earth shook. Yeah? It says, at that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more, and I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The word once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So he says that God's going to shake the entire universe, heavens and earth, right? And all the creation's going to be removed. That's the created things, so that what isn't created will remain. That's God's children. Yeah, ultimately, of course, yeah. Right, so the kingdom is going to come, but it's through that shaking that happens. So back to verse 11, he sees the earth and the sky and everything taken away. It's all, the world has changed, right? And you know what's going to come in its place?
A new one.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
New heaven.
Yes, but before you get, you've got to wait till chapter 21. Yeah? Right, but, okay, so then that's what's happened. Now then, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Yeah? It's what I call the general resurrection. It's described as the second resurrection by John in this place. But, well, I didn't actually say second resurrection, I don't think, but we know about the first resurrection, which is the spiritual one I was talking about. This is physical. Yes, all the dead are raised. Yeah, he sees them standing before the throne, all the dead, and the books were opened.
Is
now
it,
then,
is it physical though?
Yes.
Is it physical or is it spiritual?
No, this is physical. All the world is going to stand before God. Yeah.
But the world is gone.
God.
Yes, the lot, everything. As you'll see, we'll get it in a moment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's all the dead. That's them all who's died. Yeah. Great and small, that means top brass and low brass. Yeah. Peasants like us, and big brass like them, yeah? Okay? All standing before the throne. So they're all there, standing before God as the judge. Yeah? And we're all going to be there. We're all going to be there. Yeah? That's what I'm contending. You'll see why I mean that in a moment, yeah? There are those that teach this is the resurrection of the unbelievers. Yeah?
Yeah.
They split the resurrection of the believers and the unbelievers. Yeah? Well, I'm not going to do that. But
no, I don't think that.
Takes your money, pays your choice, yeah? But let me just say this. The books are open. Right. So, the books. The books. What are the books?
Yeah? Malachi 3:16.
Malachi 3:16. Which says?
About books.
Books. Let's have a look what Malachi 3:16 says. That's the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3:16. Those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honoured his name. So, God's writing down those who love him and serve him, yeah? But this is more than that, because it says, I saw the dead, another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. So, ask you a question first of all. Are the books real? Or are they symbolic? Does God keep a whole library of books of all the things that everybody's ever gone and done?
Wouldn't it be in your head? I mean, symbolic, wouldn't it?
Well, why did he say books then?
Because
in the Bible, yes. But why did he say books? I think there's a really important reason. Yeah? Because I'm quite sure, like you say, God knows all the details.
Yes.
He doesn't need to turn any page to know everything about you and me and everybody. Yeah, he knows everything. But why does it say he's got books?
Because
he saw them. Yeah. Now, there's a good reason. I think it's this. We'll just let her get up first there. Oh, dear. It's a job, isn't it?
Yes.
You've got to go.
I've just got to go and have makeup.
Right. Well, let me just say before you go, you can have your name in the book of life and then you're okay. Right, just remember that. Yes. Right.
And the thing that, well, the scripture that's coming to me is, where he says in the Old Testament, I knew you before you were born.
Yes, he knows everything. Yes.
So, he knew everybody, do you know what I mean?
Let me give you an illustration, you know. You've got a computer, right? And you're typing away some important document that you want to save, right? Yeah? So you're typing away, and before you push the save button, the power goes off. Right? What's happened to all that you've typed?
You lose it.
Yeah. Gone. Yeah. If you've written it on a book, if the power goes off, it's still there.
Yeah.
Right? The books tell us it's a permanent record.
Yeah.
God remembers everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing being forgotten.
No.
It's in the books, yeah?
Yeah?
That's what it conveys to me, yes?
He said he doesn't remember our sins if we confess.
Ah, well, he chooses not to remember there then, doesn't he, yeah? It's okay, we'll get there.
Mm.
Yeah? This chat, as I say, this little section covers so many things, yeah? So, it's a permanent record, yeah? But it says there's the books, people are judged according to what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the books there, that's right? Okay? That's verse 12, isn't it? The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, it's all fair and square.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't say, I never did that, Lord. Because he says, I can remember exactly the time and the place. It's down there, right? So, there's no dodge. You'll not get out away with anything, yes? Right? They won't get away with anything. Let's put it that way. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it says, verse 13, we come to this. Who's going to be there? The sea gave up the dead that were in it.
Wow.
And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them.
That's a whole lot there.
And each person was judged according to what he had done. So let's have a look where they are.
If they go to Hades first, they must be suffering before that happens.
Mm. Mm. Right. I'll fill that in for you, don't worry, we'll get there. Well, hopefully you won't get there. Hades, I mean. Yeah. But yeah. Right. The sea.
Yeah,
right.
And all those that have been buried.
All those who have been buried at sea or died at sea or everything else,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You'd think, well, we've got rid of them, you know,
yeah,
the fish have eaten them, they're long gone. No, they're coming back.
Yeah.
Right? God can... So that tells you something. It's a complete aside in a sense, but people talk about, is it right to be cremated or to be buried? Have you come across that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what you
Well, doing. It doesn't matter. I mean, the usual one was that people who were believers were buried.
Yeah,
because it's a picture of being buried, going to sleep, rising again. But if you happen to get eaten by a lion or get swallowed by a fish, don't worry, it can get you back anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
You get eaten by worms anyway, don't you?
Well, yeah, possibly.
Just your bones,
my man. Right. Yeah. It's cheerful, isn't it?
We'll still be there. We'll still be there.
We'll still be there. No.
Yeah.
Look, again, I just want to say that this. I've said this so many times, but it's worth repeating. What is your body?
It's a tent.
It's a tent. And it's a temporary thing, because I don't know if you're aware of this, but your skin's wearing out all the time.
Yeah.
All that was you 10 years ago isn't you now.
No.
All the chemicals have changed.
No,
you may be in the fields for all I know. Right? It's not the chemicals in themselves that make you you. It's how they're put together that makes you you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the blueprints, your DNA tells you how the different bits are stuck together. Yeah? And God's got your blueprint. So it doesn't matter whether they mince you, fry you, or burn you, right? Makes no odds. God's got your blueprint. He can rebuild you.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the resurrection point, yeah? Right, so good to know, eh? Yeah?
Just a bit of interest. Regarding the books again,
yeah.
Psalm 56, verse 8. And then it goes back to Daniel.
Yep.
Daniel mentioned the books. Yeah. In other words, it mentioned books.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you go to Daniel, it mentions the books.
Books, yeah.
It's Daniel 7, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, God's got the records. That's really what I'm saying. The books, I'd suggest that it's a symbolic term, but it means that there's a permanent, full record of everybody. Yeah? And they're judged according to that. So it's absolutely fair. Yeah? Nobody's getting blamed for anything that they didn't do. Yeah, that's the way it works. I'm so glad God knows everything. Mm. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have been done in the dark, people have got away with, they thought. They're not getting away with anything, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, so, who are there? It's all. The ones in the sea are back, right? And then death and Hades. So, Hades, what's all this about then, this Hades thing?
That's hell, isn't it?
Right. Well, no, it isn't. Now, I'll come to this later on, but there are two words that the New Testament uses for what sometimes is translated hell. One is Hades, and the other one is Gehenna.
Yeah.
Yeah? The Valley of Hinnom is what. Yeah. The Valley of Hinnom was where, outside Jerusalem, there was the rubbish tip, and there was flames burning all the time, and it sort of gave the image to what hell was about. Yeah. Anyway, we'll come to that later on. Yeah, but death and Hades gave up there. So you've died, you haven't got away with it. You're coming back, right? That's the thing. Right, so they're all there. Now then, I call Hades jail.
Yeah?
It's a jail where God keeps them till He's going to do the judgment. Right, it's a place of suffering as well, as we'll see. But I won't do that yet. Yep. Right, no escape. Everybody's going to be judged fairly. Verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And the lake of fire is Gehenna. Yes. Yes.
In the Hebrew it's Sheol.
Sheol. Yes, the Hebrew, yes.
O-L.
Yes.
And in my back of my book, it gives you some words for the Hebrew. It says Sheol, Hades and Hell.
Yes. Yeah, Sheol is a general word. It can mean the grave. Yeah. Can mean the grave. It means the abode of the dead.
Place of the dead according to the Tanakh.
Yeah, yeah.
And it mentions Matthew 11:23.
Yes, yeah. So, but the Greek, which is what the apostles use, makes a distinction. There's a difference between Hades and Gehenna. Yeah, as Jesus makes a distinction as well, as we'll see. But you've got to wait for that. Right. So, they're thrown into these are thrown into the lake of fire. It's eternal separation, isn't it? It's eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. It's a place of suffering. I'll tell you for why. If you look at 20 verse 10, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yeah. So because they're in the lake doesn't mean to say that's the end of them.
No.
They exist, but what an existence. Oh. Yeah. Tormented forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a terrible thing, yeah? Mm-hmm. And that's where death and Hades is going, and where those that haven't believed are going as well.
Mm-hmm.
But one more little bit for you. If you go to Luke chapter 16 verse 19. Luke 16 verse 19. This is the Hades one. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember him? It's not the Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead. This is another Lazarus by the same name. Yeah. Right. Now then. 16. I've got the right number, haven't I? 16 verse 19. Yes. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. So, pretty graphic description of a miserable state. The word Lazarus means God's my help. Yeah? So, he's given the name because he was a believer. Which goes to show that having a prosperity doctrine didn't do much good for him. Yeah? He was in a pretty bad way, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
But, the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Well, you know where Abraham is.
Yeah.
He's with the Lord, so that's a good place to go. Right. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, is our translation in the NIV, but it's in Hades. Yeah? So this is the jail. Yeah? In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Right, so there are some things I think that are part of the story rather than as it actually happens, right? So do you think he'll be able to see the guy who's in Hades be able to see Abraham?
No.
I don't think so,
yeah.
But it's part of the story, I think. Yeah?
Because
it's
this is spiritual, isn't it?
It's spiritual, yes.
So I would have said yes he could.
Well, okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, see how we're going. Anyway, he says, so he calls to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. And send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire. So he's in trouble, isn't he? Right. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in agony. So, the reason Lazarus got to heaven was he had a bad life here. Is that right?
Yeah,
no, it isn't.
No.
Right, you don't draw that inference from that.
No,
the reason he went to hell wasn't because he had a good life here.
Yeah.
It's because he didn't trust God. That's why.
Yeah, that's
the whole point. Yeah. But anyway. And besides all this, Jesus says, so this is why I don't think he can talk to him. Besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So there's a separation that is unmovable. You can't go from one to the other. If you're in that, you're there forever, right? Okay. So that's the separation. And then he says, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will also not come to this place of torment. Right. And he says this, Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. What's he saying? They got the Bible. Let them read the Bible. If they want to stay away from here, read your Bible.
But they only had the law, didn't they? They didn't have Jesus.
Well, they got the law enough to get them to Jesus, yeah. There's grace in the Old Testament. David was saved, wasn't he?
Yeah, I know there's grace, but it's not the same as what it is in the New Testament.
It's fuller now. But, I mean, Abraham's got to heaven and he didn't have an understanding of Jesus dying on the cross or anything, did he?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, they've got the Bible. He's saying, you've got the Bible. If you read your Bibles and you understand what it's all about, then you won't finish up here. Right? Then he says, no, Father Abram, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. So send Lazarus back and they'll be convinced. And Abraham says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. That was exactly Jesus' point. You don't believe me, and you won't believe me when I come back. So, you know, that's the problem.
So am I right in saying that if you go to hell or heaven, you can never come back?
There's no change. No, it's fixed.
And once you're there, you don't come
back. Yeah, but Hades isn't hell. Yes, but you'll see.
How come Abraham is in heaven if Jesus hadn't come yet?
Sorry?
Yeah.
If Jesus had, I believe, looked forward, it says, Jesus says, Abraham looked forward to my day. And saw it. Yeah, he looked for. Yeah, in the Old Testament, the believers look forward to the promise in the Messiah. They look forward. We look back to what he's done, as well as looking forward to when he's going to finish it. Yeah. Okay, so now then, verse 14. Back to Revelation 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. So, let's have a look at 1 verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Yeah? So, they're all judged on what they've done, but the thing that makes the difference, beware of where you finish up, is not what you've done, it's whether your name's in the book or not. Yeah?
Yes.
If your name's in the book of life, now you'll be judged on what you've done, but where you finish up depends on whether you're trusting God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're trusting God, your name's in the book of life.
Yeah.
You're saved.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
But they're not.
No.
So where do they go? Into the lake of fire. Let me show you what Jesus says. Matthew 5, verse 30. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell.
Mm.
And what's the word Jesus uses for hell?
Gehenna.
It's the final place. Yeah?
Gehenna.
It's where the fire is. He uses that term.
That doesn't mean that someone that don't have a hand is...
No, well, we'd better explain that then. When he says if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And let me put a better way of putting it. Jesus is being very literal and brutal about it. What he's really saying is cut it out.
Yeah.
If you're doing something that's causing you to go wrong, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And for some people that might mean, sort of, in a sense, restricting yourself from what other people may be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Cut it out! And then you won't finish up where you don't want to be. Right? So the word's Gehenna there, that's what I'm saying, that's hell, that's the final lake of fire. And Jesus describes it more than anybody else, where the worm never ends and the fire never ends. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Terrible.
Yeah.
That's suffering.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
And when you get these people who joke about, oh, I don't mind going to
hell. Yeah, they have no idea of it.
No.
Some people don't believe in hell.
Yeah.
My brother said that to me. I want to go to hell. He says it's one of my mates.
Yeah, that's right. This is what
my
brother said.
My
brother
made reference to heaven. He says, well, it must be fun in hell to tell you.
No fun, no.
They think that, don't they?
It's foolish. Foolish.
Yeah.
Okay, but what about those whose names are found in the book of life? Well, read. Those names are in the book of life are the sons of the kingdom, the daughters of the kingdom, and the next verse tells you where they go. It's chapter 21, verse 1. See, the chapters are arbitrary. Yeah. You just read it as you should, you know, straight from one to the other.
Mm.
Right? It says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And who's there?
Jesus.
The ones who put their trust in the Lord, whose names are in the book.
Yeah.
So, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, now then, slight complication for you. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, some people say this is a different judgment. I don't agree with them, but we'll see what I mean. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 15. Okay, Paul speaking. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other way to go to God than through Jesus. Yeah. Right. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Now then, what's that about? That's called the judgment seat of Christ. Is it the same as the judgment seat of the white throne?
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes. Some people, as I say, make the distinction that this is the judgment seat of Christ for believers, and the Revelation 20 is the judgment seat for unbelievers. I don't think that's the case. I think it's the same judgment. It's the same judgment, but it's from a different angle. This is how you see it if you're a believer. Yeah? If you're not a believer, you see it as you see Revelation 20. You know where you're going, right? But if you're a believer, the books are opened, and what you've done is what you've built. Silver, precious stones, or wood, hay and straw? What's the difference?
One burns and the other doesn't.
Yeah. One is you've built things that God counts as valuable, right? Or you frittered away your life and built rubbish.
Isn't this one based on your rewards?
It's coming to rewards, yes. Yeah. If you've built with, basically salvation is in Jesus. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, there's no other name. Jesus, your foundation. Yeah. But you can then, as you live as a Christian for the Lord, you can build into your life things that are honouring to God. It's the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, kindness, all those things. The types of things that you do, showing kindness, cup of cold water for someone who's one of his disciples, helping your brothers and sisters, ministering grace to others. That's all building with silver and gold and precious stones. Yeah? But if you've been a real old grump, yeah, you've wasted your time, you've never bothered helping anybody, you've been building with wood, hay and straw. You believed in Jesus, praise the Lord for that. But the day's coming when you stand before the throne and Jesus gets his match out and puts the light to you. Right? And you'll find out whether you've been building with wood, hay and straw or not, because if you have, it's all going up. You'll be there, you'll survive, but everything that you've worked for, just think about what people are doing in the day.
Escape
through the full flames. Basically, it's saying, just think about it, some people spend their lives building stuff that's a total waste of time. I remember reading a book by Tozer, A.W. Tozer. I always felt when you read him, you crawled away from it when you read it, you know, it was really strong stuff. But there was one article, it was called On Breeding Spotted Mice. Yeah? And it was a little article he'd come across in a newspaper. This minister had just died, and he spent his entire life trying to breed spotted mice. Yeah? And he said, basically his point was, waste of time. That's rubbish. It's going to get burned. Yeah. So for the believer, the angle is, yes, what we've built will remain or it won't remain, depending on whether you built it as right things with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is this where the mansions come in then?
You get a better house. I'm not sure. We'll see.
I'm going to end up with a hut.
All I'm saying is 1 Corinthians 3 is the same as Revelation 20, but taken from the angle, the particular angle of the believer. We have the angle of the believer. If your name's in the book of life, you go to chapter 21. Otherwise, you're out. Yes. But I want to just take you back to Matthew 24. This really sort of illustrates it with the words of Jesus. So Matthew 24, verse 30 for a moment. Yeah? I don't know if you know, but Matthew 24 is the end times, the end of the age chapter in Matthew's Gospel. The sun will be darkened, the moon turned to blood and all of that. Yeah, and verse 30 is where we want. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. In other words, they're going to see Jesus coming back. Right? They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He'll send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So Jesus is coming back in Matthew 24. Yeah? And that was Revelation 19.
Yeah.
Now we get to Revelation 20 where we have the judgment. So we get to chapter 25 of Matthew. Yeah? We're jumping around, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Matthew 25, verse 1 is the parable of the 10 virgins.
Yeah.
What's the lesson of the 10 virgins? Remember? Five of them were wise, five were foolish. Yeah. Some had some oil reserves. Yeah. Others run out, and when the bridegroom comes back, some are locked out, and some get in. Yeah, it's a separation, of course, yeah, but what was the point?
Don't get up busy, but get ready.
You get ready! Yeah. Get ready for the return. That's what he said.
Some of the churches are asleep, that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Body of themselves asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jesus is coming back, so chapter 25 tells us what we should do about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Verse 1 is, get ready. The kingdom of heaven will be like the 10 virgins, right? And then we get to verse 14. We have, again, the kingdom's going to be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusts his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. Right? What do they do? Five, the one with five gets to work.
Yeah.
The one with two gets to work.
Right?
And the last one, wasted. Right. So when he comes back, what's going to happen?
He's going to be told.
Right?
The two
that have worked and served the Lord, they've been building. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah.
When they serve the Lord, they get a reward.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. You've been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of more. There's rewards for effort. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yes. What you do counts. So there's rewards for effort. If you waste it all, you've lost it.
But it's not by our work that we're saying.
It's not by work.
No.
That's what you could be careful of with that scripture. Isn't
yeah.
It?
Now then. Yes. Yes.
I fell on verse 34 in Matthew 24, and it says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until
all these things have happened. Yes. Right, what's he mean?
He's saying it's very soon, isn't it?
Well, there's a double meaning to it. The double meaning is this. Jesus is talking to that crowd and he says, this generation is going to see the end. As far as Jerusalem was concerned, AD 70, end, right?
Yeah.
But this generation doesn't just mean this generation, it can mean this race. In other words, the Jews are going to last until the end.
Yeah?
And that's looking on beyond AD 70, of course, yeah? That's another story. We won't be doing that today. Let's see now. Verse 31 of chapter 25 of Matthew. We're still in Matthew 20 now. 25. Here we have the story, the description of the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, that's it, yeah? And all his angels with him, that's chapter 19 of Revelation, yeah? He will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. That's chapter 20. Yeah? And all the nations will be gathered before him. That's chapter 20. It's the judgment. And he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. What happens to the sheep?
They go into the pen with the shepherd.
It says, well, I've lost the place. He says, come, verse 34, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. That's chapter 21 of Revelation.
New heaven and new earth.
Right, okay. Right. You're the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So you're going to enter into the kingdom. The last bit, yeah? Right. And then he says, for I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. And so on. All these good things that you did. And they'll say, when did we do that? And he said, whenever you did it for one of these, you've done it for me. Right. So they weren't consciously gaining brownie points.
No.
They were just doing what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right? And then he'll say to the goats, right, where's that? Then he'll say to those on his left, verse 41, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Yeah. That's Gehenna.
Mm.
Right? Go to hell, is what he's saying. Yeah, why?
It
says, and I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. So,
that's a word in the book today.
Is it? Mm. Right. It looks like you either get in or you get out because you fed the hungry, you were kind to people, and all that sort of thing. Yeah? No. Why do they do what they do? Because sheep do sheep things and goats do goat things.
Yeah,
right? What makes the difference between the sheep and the goats is not what they do, it's what they are.
Yeah.
You are born, and I've got bad news for you, you are all born goats. Yes? We're all born goats. Yes? Some look more like goats than others, of course. Yeah? What makes a goat into a sheep is faith in Jesus. Right? And once you've got that, then you start doing the good stuff. Helping, caring, loving, and all that, yeah? So, that's how it works. Right.
Goats always making excuses, they keep butting.
Oh, dear me. I could have thought of that one, yeah? I like that one, Harold. I'll make that one, I suspect, yeah?
And they keep butting in.
Okay. Right. So, Matthew 25 tells us three things about people being ready, or the return of Jesus. It's this. You've got to be ready. There will be rewards and there will be punishments, yeah? And there's going to be a separation. Sheep and goats are going to be separated.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're aware of this. Let me just one more little bit. It's in Luke 12 verse 47 and 48. The Bible doesn't say an awful lot about people who are lost. You don't realise that, but it doesn't. 47, Luke 12, 46 and 47, yeah, right. It's another parable, but it says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he's not aware of. He'll cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Now this is the verse. The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So, what Jesus is getting at there is, those that have done wrong, and know they've done wrong, are going to pay high for it, yeah? Those that have done wrong and weren't aware of it, get fewer punishments. So, basically saying is, there are degrees of punishments, yeah? For those that have sinned, yeah? As well, in the other way, there are degrees of rewards for those who've done well. Wood, hay, straw, and all that stuff, yeah? That's the, so the, there's the distinction of rewards and punishments as well. Lastly, dear friends, we've got, this is really...
So, I mean, you don't have to be perfect, then?
You don't have to, you can't be perfect.
No,
but,
you
better, you better be perfect in Jesus, though.
Yeah.
Right. No. Yeah?
Yes, yes.
You sure?
Yes, 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 that's all right.
You've got Jesus on.
Like the things you've done, you do, you think,
yeah.
I
know, well...
Anyway.
It's all forgiven, yes.
Well, Lord, don't see them.
Right. No. Just as well, eh?
You're in Christ,
yeah.
He's Christ.
Right, yeah.
Right, okay. Right. Oh, well, now then. Back to, just last few bits. I'm sorry, Stick. I was going to do it. I had to chop this lot in half. I'm only halfway through the stuff I was going to give you. You'll be pleased to know.
Very good.
Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. I want to show you what the disciples thought. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. We've been looking at the end. We've been looking at the rewards and the judgments and all of those things. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, we have the disciples asking this question after Jesus has come back. Right? So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Yeah? We've been talking about the kingdom. Acts chapter 1, verse 6.
Oh, 1.
1, verse 6, yeah. Yeah. Lord, at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel. So they see it as very much as a national thing, that the kingdom's going to be for Israel. I don't think they've quite got it, yeah? Jesus doesn't answer them directly, he just says, it's nothing to do with you at all, that one. It's in the Father's hands, just worry about that one, yeah? But I can understand why they thought that, because I've got three passages quickly to show you why they might have come up with an idea like that. So if you go to Isaiah 49, Isaiah 49, and verse 8. Isaiah 49 verse 8 says, it's under the heading Restoration of Israel. You can go through the Old Testament and look under the headings Restoration of Israel if you want. Helpful. Yeah. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor I will answer you. In the day of salvation I will help you. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land, and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed by the roadsides and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the east, west, and some from Aswan. Yeah? And so it goes on. God's going to restore Israel. That's what he says there, isn't it? Yeah? Yeah? So that's what the disciples were wondering about. One more, Ezekiel 37. You know this one. It's the bones. All them bones. Right? Ezekiel 37. But God explains to Ezekiel what it means in verse 11 to 14. Yep. You know, he saw these bones all dry and thing, and then he started to speak to them, and they came together and they got flesh on them, and then they stood up, yeah, and all that, yeah. He says, verse 11, He said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you back up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and that I have done it, declares the Lord." So God says to these people who were exiles in Babylon at the time through Ezekiel, all they were saying is, that's it, end of the road, finish, Israel, gone. Mm-hmm. And Ezekiel comes to them and says, God says, you're going back. God's going to raise you up and put you back, and when he gets you back, he's going to put his spirit in you and you'll live.
Hey.
Right? Mm-hmm. Which is being fulfilled today. Mm-hmm. He's getting Israel back to its land, and some are starting to get saved, yes? Mm-hmm. That's the promise there. Mm-hmm. But the interesting and wonderful thing is God's promise to restore Israel. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And that's what the disciples were wondering. Is this it, Lord? Are we getting, going to go to that? Yeah? Well, I'd like to suggest what this fulfillment is going to be ultimately at the end, when Israel really does turn back to the Lord in faith. And Paul mentions it, I believe, in Romans 11:15. So this is my last reference, you'll be glad to know. Romans 11:15. Look at this. Great verse. In fact, all of Romans is great. Right. 11:15. Well, let me just read verse 11, first of all, of Romans 11. "Again I ask, did they stumble as to fall beyond recovery?" That's mean, is Israel finished? That's what he's saying. Are the Jews finished?
No.
Right? And his answer is, not at all. "Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious." So the good news spread out because they rejected it. Incredible. But then he goes to verse 15. And he says this, he says, "If their rejection is reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" Yeah? When they return to Jesus, it's like coming back to life, just like the graves are opened. Yeah? So, yeah? That's what Paul's saying, that's going to happen. Yeah? Okay?
Yeah, they're coming, aren't they?
They're coming. Right, now then, I'll just conclude by saying this, yeah? Next time, Lord willing, we'll do a survey of the Old Testament end time prophecies. That's why I didn't do it all today, as you can see, yeah? We'll be looking at particularly Isaiah, Ezekiel and Zechariah. There's not all of it, but in Ezekiel and Isaiah and Zechariah there are particular prophecies about the end times that are really relevant to the Revelation passage. Yeah?
If it comes before next week, we don't do that.
We won't need to do it if he comes back by then. Yes, that'd be good, won't it? Yes.
Save
us all the work, yes. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your patience. How are you? Just remember, we are going to stand before him, but we're going to see him as the merciful God. Remember that judgment has two sides. He can either judge against you, or he can judge for you. And if you're in Jesus, it's the four bit. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you that, Lord, this world has got to face the music for all the wicked things that's happened, Lord. And Lord, if we were going to be standing in our own, we'd be in a bad way. We thank you, Lord, there's forgiveness in Jesus. That our sins, which are many, are washed away because of his death for us on the cross. We want to say thank you, Lord. We don't deserve it. We never earn it. But we praise you, Lord, we can receive it. And we bless you for your grace and love to us. And Lord, pray that you'll help us, Lord, to share the solemn and serious good news, Lord, that this world is running out of time. People need Jesus. Lord, show us how to show in love, Lord, the solemn things that we learn about. Help us, Lord, and grant us much grace, and keep us from falling. In Jesus' name. Amen.